Amen. All right. How come he snickers when he says biker?
I didn't snicker.
Oh, okay. Amen. Praise the Lord. Good to have you out tonight. It's good to be in church on a Friday night. Amen. I'm glad somebody agrees with me. Amen. I don't know about you, but I wasn't much of one for staying home on Friday night. I didn't spend too many at home. I wasn't a couch potato or nothing like that. When I was lost, I was pretty active, and Friday night was a big night, and I was always somewhere, and I'm glad that that didn't have to change when I got saved. That didn't have to change when God called me in the ministry. I'm glad tonight I get to be in church just about every Friday night. Amen. It's better than sitting home watching television. Amen. Matter of fact, if you really believe that, if you feel like I do, you feel blessed that you can be in church tonight, and I want to make a special invitation for you to come down to Brother Brandon's church next Friday night and join us in church there. Amen. Wouldn't that be a blessing, brother? That's not going to conflict with anything around here, is it? there went my offering again, like Daniel says. Amen. All right. Well, praise the Lord. I am glad you're here. Open your Bible, Titus chapter 2. One time I told a church to turn to 2 Titus chapter 2. Hey, I don't know. I don't know if I was nervous. It just came out that way. And no sooner than I said it, I realized what I'd said. And, you know, and a couple other people did, but I looked up, and there were people looking for it. So I just waited a second, and I said, and when you found it, would you please raise your hand? Amen. Because they are using a different Bible than me. Amen. We'll get them a King James. Amen. You got 2 Titus in your Bible. We'll get you a King James. Amen. Titus chapter 2 tonight, we'll read a couple verses. In verse 13, the Bible says this, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I hope you are. Amen. I hope you're looking for that blessed hope. I am. I am ready to go. Amen. And I'm not in a big hurry to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. I'm not saying that, but I'm ready to get out of here. Amen. And we go to a church. We used to go to church. I don't think it's going anymore. And Vander Wagon, New Mexico, a Navajo church, and the preacher there, when it came time for announcements, the first announcement every service was this right here: "The Lord's coming back soon." Amen. That's an announcement. I think we need to be reminded of it once in a while. We don't live like we believe it. Amen. We say we believe it. I hope you're looking for it. Verse 14. The Word of God goes on to say this, who gave Himself for us. We're talking about the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us. And then the reason for that's there. It says that He might redeem us from all iniquity. I wasn't real thrilled about all when it showed up in Romans chapter 3, but I like it here. Amen. When the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, boy, I knew my boat was sunk beyond any misconception. Amen. I knew I was a sinner. But I'm glad tonight the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin too. Amen. And it says that the Lord gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity. That word redeem, that's a word. It means to buy back. It's a word you don't hear much. I don't hear much in any other context. But when I was a kid, we had to redeem soda pop bottles at the grocery store. They used to be made out of glass. I know I just dated myself for some of you. Amen. And there was a deposit, and the deal was this: is when I was growing up, that the deposit from the soda pop bottles every week at the grocery store, I got to keep that for my allowance. And my dad, he drank about 6 Coca-Colas a week. and it was my job to keep track of those bottles, make sure they got back in the little carton, and I got to carry them in. I'm talking about 7, 8 years old. I got to carry them into the grocery store with my mom every Saturday. And my mom, she drank 6 tab. I don't know if any of you remember that, but that's the nastiest stuff I ever drank. Well, I tell you what, I didn't help her drink them, but I kept track of the bottles, and I would put those 2 6-packs up on the counter at the bottle return, and that guy, he'd put out 2 dimes and 4 pennies and hand them to me, and that was my allowance, 24 cents a week. You try to give your kid 24 cents a week nowadays, they'll get a lawyer, amen. There, some ACLU idiot will take the case. Amen. Amen. What the store did, I watched. You know, that was real interesting because I thought, who's going to want these bottles after we drank out of them? And then I started wondering who drank out of them before we got them and things like that. And I watched, and they didn't throw them on a pile. They didn't break them, crush them, melt them, anything like that. They took those bottles and they put them in a place where they went back to the bottling company, and they cleaned them up. I hope. They cleaned them up. They took those bottles after they redeemed them, and they cleaned them up, and then they filled them up, and then they used them again. And that book says, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. And I'll tell you what, the Lord redeemed us. He gave himself on the cross of Calvary, amen, to redeem us. But his intention, amen, in the redemption of your soul is to clean you up and fill you up and use you for his honor and glory, amen. And it goes on to say this, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Amen. I want to preach you tonight for a few minutes on this thought, peculiar people. Peculiar people. Let's go, Lord, in prayer again. Lord, you are wonderful, magnificent, Father, indescribable. Lord, it's amazing that you give us the time of day, and you literally do. It's a wonder that you give us air to breathe, and you do. And as hard as we try to mess up what you've done for us, you've done too much for us to mess up. Lord, you redeemed us from all iniquity. And Father, tonight I pray that you'd speak to our hearts through your book. I pray that you'd enable me to say something that your spirit can bear witness to that'll make a difference, that'll be pleasing to you. And if that could happen, Lord, it will have been good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. And I thank you for salvation. I thank you for the best job, the best family, and the best friends in the world. And most of all, I thank you for you. And I hope you get a blessing tonight, God. And I pray it in the name of your Son, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Peculiar people, that's an interesting word, peculiar. It seems like a word that sometimes we, even Bible believers, have a hard time defining. Amen. And I got thinking about that one day and wondered if, by the way, so many Christians resist living a separated, godly life, I've decided that it must be this right here. It must be because they think that word peculiar means weird. And you know, I looked at the list on the back of the Blessed Hope t-shirt, and I'm in agreement with all that. But I didn't see weird on that list. Amen. And because nobody wants to be weird. Amen. And we had a kid come into our church one time. He was lost. He was invited. He praise the Lord, he came as a Sunday. Our preacher preached. And he told me about the kid. He said he looked like I did when I got out of jail and first started coming to church. Looked like a fish out of water, amen. Looked like it was his first time in church. Of course, the way things have changed in the last 18 years, he'd probably fit right in these days. He had a ball cap on, amen. Only it was turned sideways, amen. ball cap. I decided this. If I need to supplement my income, I'm not like Brother Gip. I'm not smart enough to write books and stuff like that. But I'm thinking about this. If we could produce little arrows with a little glue on the back, and on the arrow it'll say front, and we could sell them people to stick under the bill of ball caps, I think we could make a buck, because obviously the problem is they come without directions and nobody knows how to wear them anymore. So, you know, you see them depending on where you're at, you know, the bill, that's for, you know, but I don't know, people don't get that. This kid didn't get that. And then he had his shirt tail out, and that seems to be a fad these days, amen. And then he had his undershirt hanging out, and then his pants were hanging way down. And you could see his underwear, amen. Listen, let me give you some help here tonight if you have a leaning like that. The operative syllables in the word underwear is under. And I'm no scholar or theologian or grammarian. I'm not even sure if that's a word for sure. But I know that. And this kid, but you know what, this kid was lost, and this kid needed to be saved, and we're glad he was there. Amen. And preach salvation message, try to make it easy for that young man to come forward and get saved. And he said he could tell he was under conviction, and he wouldn't look up during the invitation, and he was getting real antsy, and he just wanted to get out of there. And when it was all said and done, he did get out of there. And I tell you what, now that young man heard the gospel plain and clear. And I hope that someday I see him in heaven. Amen. The Bible says it's a process. The Bible says that some sow and some water, and amen, and God gives the increase. And I pray God give the increase in that young man somewhere. I said, preacher, what do you think it was that kept him in his seat when he had an opportunity to come get saved? And Brother Eastep said, well, I don't know. I think it might be this. I think he was afraid if he stepped out and came down, he might look weird. Preacher said, that's amazing because he looked weird already. Amen. And I'll tell you what, that'll keep you from being what God wants you to be if you're worried about that, because we don't mind being considered radical or fanatical or militaristic sometimes, but we don't want to be considered weird. So I'm going to preach to you give you some things about that word peculiar tonight. Take the sting out of it for you. Maybe even give you some things that you might want to embrace about the word. Make it easier for you to be what God redeemed you to be. Amen. That book says that he went to the cross to redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. That word peculiar means this: singular, particular, or special. See, now some of you, all you wanted was to feel special. Here's your chance. It means exclusive property, that which belongs to a person and exclusion of others. And if you're washed in the blood of Jesus Christ tonight, if you're born again, you belong to God. Amen. You're peculiar to God. You're His. Like this Bible, this King James Bible right here is a peculiar Bible in that it says, David Charles Spurgeon, this one's mine. You may have one like it, but this one's peculiar in that it belongs to me. If you're saved here tonight, you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what peculiar means. And so I'm going to give you some things about that word peculiar. And like I say, take sting out of a little bit. And then maybe when you have the next batch of shirts made, you'll just stick it right in there somewhere. I don't know. But first of all tonight, if you're saved, you had a peculiar birth. You had a peculiar birth. The Lord said in John chapter 3 a couple times, He said this. He said, you must be born again. And that's a peculiar birth He's talking about right there. A couple things about it. Number one, it's a birth by choice. Amen. That first one wasn't. They gave me, early in my Christian career, life, walk, I was called to preach. I was on federal probation. Amen. I couldn't leave the county and without federal judge's permission for 6 years. But the preacher tried to keep me busy. Amen. Something needed cleaned up, he'd call me. People would call, somebody would die and they'd call and say, yeah, this is a church, yeah, we need somebody to do a funeral. Preacher would say, no problem, David. And man, I've been back on the same side of town that God saved me out of, amen, doing funerals for people, thought I was a Bible scholar, amen. I didn't know much, I just knew more than them. Finally, we had teenagers, we had a senior high Sunday school class that got the teacher so frustrated and mad, he quit. He quit on them. And the preacher had the teenagers come upstairs to the auditorium sitting on his class, but he really wanted them to have their own class. And finally he asked me, he said, David, you think you'd like to teach the teenagers Sunday school class? I said, are you kidding? You want me to be a Sunday school teacher? And he said, yeah. And the way I was raised in the Lord was if you got a call on your life, if God opens a door, you go through it. You don't pick and choose. You let Him pick and choose. And as unlikely as I thought a candidate I would be for that position, I said, I'll do my best. I'll give it a try. And I got to be the Sunday school teacher for a couple of years before I went into evangelism. I had a ball. I didn't have any problem with them kids. Put me in a little room about half the size of this platform. Amen. I guarantee you I'd keep them awake. Amen. We had a pretty good time. One of them was having a bad day. And, of course, somebody was having a bad day every week. And I got him to the side, and I said, hey, man, what's going on? Anything I can help you with? He's mad at his mom and dad, You know how to make a kid mad, don't you? Here's how it goes. No. Say no. Yeah. You better look and see if your kid doesn't have the ACLU's phone number in their cell phone. Amen. So if you tell them no, amen, they can probably have a case. But this kid, he just needed to complain to somebody, needed to vent. I was a good one to vent to. Amen. And he finally said this right here. He said, I didn't ask to be born. Now that kid, that proved to me right then he was smarter than he looked. Amen. I'll tell you something tonight. You didn't ask to be born the first time either, but you were. And you better thank God you were born in America. Because with all her problems, America's still light years ahead of every other country on this planet. I'm not getting on this bandwagon of bashing America every time I have a conversation. I'm not going with that crowd right there. I'm glad to be an American. I've been out of this country. I know what we've got here. I know what people fought for. Amen. You better be glad. You think you're having a bad day now. How'd you like to be born in Russia or something like that? This birth here, this peculiar birth, is different than the first in that it's a birth by choice. You didn't ask to be born the first time, but if you're saved here tonight, you asked to be born the second time. That book says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We were up in Rhode Island or Connecticut one time. I was on my way to meet my wife and I. We had a Cracker Barrel early in the morning. Where Cracker Barrels ever, how you get them in Rhode Island, don't ask me, man. Years ago, you had to go to Tennessee to see one of them. Now they're everywhere. They got them here yet? You're kidding me. Probably have them in Canada next. Amen. Canada. We're sitting in there. We got a nice waiter. He's a real nice young man. And we're talking about the Lord. It's early Sunday morning. Amen. I think it's Sunday morning. And we was on our way somewhere, and we started talking about the Lord with this guy. We had scripture on our jackets and everything. And I know you haven't noticed this, but when I'm having a conversation, others can usually hear me too. And the more I notice that the people around me are getting uncomfortable, I like that. Amen. Especially if I'm talking about the Lord and people are giving us dirty looks and something happens and that makes me get louder and amen. Before it's over, man, the whole place had the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's clear. We talked about it's good to be saved. And this guy, this waiter, man, a good kid, he's right in with us. Amen. And then finally my wife asked him, she asked everybody this. She says, tell me, when did you get saved? And he just looked as innocent. He believed it. He believed it when he said it. He said, oh, I've always been saved. I was born into a Christian home. My grandfather was a preacher. No, he wasn't always saved. He was a good kid. He was a nice young man. I'm going to tell you what, nobody is getting into the body of Christ without asking, without calling. This thing here, by choice. We got a peculiar birth in that it's by choice. Also this right here, it's a remembered birth. This one here is a remembered birth. Amen. Now, famous day, real famous day. I don't know if we got any history buffs in here tonight. Real famous, real important day in American history. And if you know what it is, raise your hand. February 10th, 1953. How many know what happened? Besides my kid and my wife. And don't you forget it either when it's time to buy me a birthday present. That's the day I was born. Did that get on the tape? Write that down in big events for this church. Pray for Brother Spurgeon. That's the day I was born. It might not be a big deal to you, but it's a really important day to me. I don't remember one detail of that day. I tried. I thought back hard as I could, and it totally escaped me. Amen. As important as that event was in my life, I can't remember any of it. My parents, on the other hand, remember it, especially my mom. And I guarantee you, I caused them both to regret it many, many times. Amen. But that second one, well, that morning in cell 2 and E3 North in the county jail in Dayton, Ohio, that morning 3 weeks after hearing the gospel straight and clear out of the King James Bible, that morning when I recalled that a friend of mine had been murdered 10 years to the day of that anniversary, 10 years to the day, a guy that followed me into the motorcycle gang and followed me, amen, and was murdered behind my house by a rival gang gunning for me. Boy, that morning I knelt beside my bunk and asked Jesus Christ to forgive me. I'll never forget it. That's a remembered birth. And I'll tell you what, there have been times in this life when things seemed out of control and going crazy, and it didn't seem like living for God mattered, and the things I tried to do weren't making no difference. And boy, I tell you what, when I felt like throwing in the towel and giving up, I go back to that remembered birth. I go back to that day. Spirit of God reminds me of that day where I had bigger problems than any problem I'm looking at right now. And that was the problem of where my soul was going to spend eternity. And I thank God for that peculiar birth. I thank God for 37 years after that day in February in Lawrenceburg, Tennessee. I thank God that on November 30th, 1990, I got born again. Amen. Greatest day of my life. This peculiar people right here we're talking about tonight got this going for them right here. Got a peculiar birth. And if you're saved here tonight, you got that going for you. And that's not all. Go to Psalm 12. Psalm 12. You got a peculiar birth. And you got this here too. Now you know this verse. Verse 6. And the Bible says this, the words of the Lord are pure words. You got a peculiar book in your hand. You got a King James Bible. It says the words of the Lord are pure words as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified 7 times. There's some things about the Bible, about this peculiar book. And number one tonight, it's a pure book. Amen. Now listen, we get travel around and we don't apologize for enjoying what God's called us to do. Amen. We sightsee. My daughter, great time for commercial. My daughter takes beautiful pictures all over the country, suitable for framing. Go by the table on your way out. Amen. How'd you like that? I plucked that. Snuck that right in there, didn't I? Amen. We get to go to New York City. I love going to New York City. We're going to go there in August for a couple weeks. My wife and I are going to do a marriage conference in New York City, amen, to about 150 Italians, amen. This ought to be interesting. She's German, I'm Irish, amen. We can't pronounce their name, but we're going to show them what the Bible says. Amen. We get to go there, people say, Brother Spurgeon, how can you stand to go to New York City? I said, why? And they said, there's so many sinners there. I said, what? We're in the ministry. Where do you think we're supposed to go? Alabama, you know? Amen. We go there and we'll preach and we'll do everything. Then we get a chance to sightsee. Man, we've handed out tracts, street preached in Manhattan and things like that. And one day we're walking down Fifth Avenue, amen, all the way from Central Park, walking down Fifth Avenue, and then all of a sudden I saw that look in my wife's eye, man. She saw something, man. Usually it's me and the kids looking at the Empire State Building or something, the world's largest toy store, that was probably me. And then all of a sudden there's this big marble-looking building with pillars, and my wife, man, she almost fainted. She goes, oh, oh, oh. I said, what? What's wrong? What's wrong? She goes, there it is, the New York City Public Library. Me and the three girls went, yeah, so, you know, can we go in there? Can we go in there? And, you know, hey, she wants something, she gets it, amen. So I said, okay, you know. And we go in there, and yeah, it was pretty neat. It was a great-looking building. It had nice wood inside. I liked all that. Then we got into the room where the books were. That's where me and the kids found a bench to sit on. We leaned on each other. We're yawning, sleeping. The place stunk, smelled like old books and stuff. My wife's like this. She's going, oh, she's touching them. Oh, oh, look at all these books. Amen. I'm telling the truth, too. There's millions of books. Right, Ev? There's millions of books in that library. But I'm talking about outside of King James Bible, there had one pure book in there. We got a peculiar book. That Bible says the words of the Lord are pure. You can believe that book. And that's not all. It says in verse 7, Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. It's a preserved book. And it's God that preserved it. And the scholars say, but the originals were inspired and infallible, but man lost them. No kidding. Man messes everything up. That's why God didn't leave the preservation of His Bible in the hands of folks like us. David said, thou. It was his responsibility to preserve them, and he did, and I'm glad he did. You've got a peculiar book. It's a pure book, and it's a preserved book. And it's a productive book. It's a productive book. I'll read you a verse in 1 Peter 1. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. It's a productive book. It produces life. Everlasting life. Amen. I didn't join a church. I didn't get religion. I got saved according to the book. Amen. It's a productive book. It's a profound book. It's peculiar, it's profound, it's full of profound statements. Here's one. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. You know, the educated crowd, the dignified crowd, the successful crowd, they hate that. They hate stuff like all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. They know most of us have, amen, but they don't see. They hate absolute truth. That's why they hate that book. It's a profound book. Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Personally, I'm delighted that God made it that simple. I made so many bad choices by the time I was 37 years old. If this thing about salvation was multiple choice, I'd have picked wrong. Amen. I'm glad it's not multiple choice. There's one answer. His name is Jesus Christ. It's a profound book. And it's also this. It's a prophetic book. The greatest history book there ever was. Amen. You want to learn about Jewish history, you don't have to go to the Discovery Channel. Amen. Just read your Bible. That's what that is. That's the truth right there. you don't need help. You need this. Amen? But I'm going to tell you what, it's more than that. This is a prophetic book. This tells history that hadn't even happened yet. Amen. And you mark it down. Everything it says is going to come to pass. So when I see on the news the Aqua Velva man, that's what I used to call Ahmadinejad. I was hoping he'd be out of the picture before I ever learned to say his name right. I just called him the Aqua Velva man. But some of you know what that is, some of you don't. And but he said this. He said, "We're going to destroy Israel. We're going to wipe them from the face of the earth." And I went, I took my Bible and I went, Amen. I wouldn't want to be standing next to that guy in a lightning storm. Because Israel's going to make it. He's not, but Israel's going to make it. Why? Because the Bible says so. It doesn't have anything to do with what I think. It has to do with what that book says. That's a peculiar book right there. Titus, back to Titus chapter 2. No, I'm not closing. Titus chapter 2, and we preach sermonettes for Christianettes, amen? And that's not what you got here. So Titus chapter 2, let me say this. We're supposed to be a people of peculiar behavior. Peculiar behavior. It says this in Titus chapter 2, let's look at verse 11. And for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Amen. That's how it's supposed to be. I'm afraid that some of us have got a hold of this thing where it says denying ungodliness and worldly lusts. I think we think that means that when we get busted, we're supposed to deny it. No, that's not what it means. Amen. That means you're not supposed to get involved with it in the first place. Amen. Denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly. I'm going to tell you what, if you'd have put that verse into practice, you'd stick out like a sore thumb. Even in Christian circles this day. Amen. Later in the Laodicean church age, or as I like to call it, the sloppy agape church age. Amen. Amen. And the later it gets, the looser we're getting. And I said we. I'm not talking about all the mother crowds. God didn't call me to preach to them. I'd love to, but He's got me preaching to you, see. And the later it gets, and the more worldly Christianity gets, more worldly we're getting. We're pacing ourselves about two steps behind the rest of the crowd, and because we're not doing what they're doing, we think that makes us spiritual. Now, we're supposed to be a people of peculiar behavior. We're supposed to stick out like a sore thumb. Problem is, we blend in, we fit in way too well. Amen. I travel around the country. Lost people don't surprise me. Amen. They're lost. I'll tell you what surprises me, what Christians do. What Christians justify. You'll preach and somebody will say, "Well, you know, you said this or you said that. I don't see anything wrong with this or that." I started reading my Bible and I figured out what the deal was. It says in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13, "For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." Then verse 14 says, "But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use," the context is the word of righteousness, "even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." The reason Christians don't see anything wrong with some things is because they don't have enough Bible in them to know right from wrong. That book says if you're a hearer and not a doer, you deceive your own self. That Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Amen. We're supposed to be different, but we live in a day and age where even in Christianity, anything goes. Beloved, tonight we're supposed to be a reflection of Jesus Christ on our best day. That's a near impossible task. What about a normal day? You wonder why the world's getting farther and farther out every year. It's because we are too. Amen and amen. We're supposed to be a people of peculiar behavior. The Bible says He gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity. We like that, don't we? Oh, yeah, we like that. We like knowing our sins are gone. We like knowing we're signed, sealed, and all but delivered. But the catch is this. He said, and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. We're at a time in Bible-believing Christianity where we think showing up at church every service, we're doing God a great service. That's the way we are. We need a time clock in the foyer so we can punch our clock. Amen. It ought not be that way. We ought to be a people of peculiar behavior. Amen? All right. Better move along now. That one didn't go over so good. It was my favorite, personally. But how about this? We're supposed to be a people of peculiar blessing. Peculiar blessing. We are. We are. Our blessing, if you're Christian tonight, and you're trying to do right, and you're in church on Friday night, I'll give you that. I'll give you that. Our blessings don't come from striving and conniving and hustling. Our blessing doesn't come from wheeling and dealing, amen, like the old days. Our blessings don't come from being lucky or being in the right place at the right time. And you hear all those things, and maybe you've said some of those things, and if you're saved, you're wrong if you said those things. That's not where your blessings come from. Bible says in Proverbs 28:20, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. That's a peculiar blessing. The Bible promises you that if you'll be faithful, God will bless you. If you'll be faithful. Faithful to what? Faithful to do right. Amen. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. If you'll be faithful to do right, God will bless you. Amen. You'll be faithful to study your Bible, to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. God will bless you. Amen. If you'll be faithful to pray, the Bible says, pray without ceasing. You'll be faithful to pray. The Bible says, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. You'll be faithful to give. You'll be faithful to attend. You'll be faithful to witness. You'll be blessed. That's where your blessings come from. Of course, there's a catch. There's a problem, and the problem's us. Because the Lord lays it out just that simple, and we still drop the ball. We still mess up. We're our own biggest enemy. So what do? We don't have a shot at the blessing. We don't have a shot at faithfulness because sometimes we're not. Sometimes we don't give. Sometimes we don't witness. Sometimes we don't read our Bible. And I don't know, if you're like me, you have days like that. Amen. I'll tell you what, though. I'll tell you how you can get that thing straightened out. Even though we don't always do right, when we don't, we can be faithful to get right. A faithful man shall abound with blessings. Listen, when the Spirit of God puts His finger on something, if you got any Bible in you at all, you know. Man, don't resist the Holy Ghost. Don't grieve the Spirit of God. Don't wait out another invitation. Get it right. The Bible says, just man falleth seven times, rises up again. You know, people will know I messed up. We all mess up. But you can get it right. Faithful man shall abound with blessings. How about this? Genesis 12:3 says, I'll bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Could I say to you tonight, it's more important than ever to pray for Israel? More important than ever? You don't have to watch what's going on in Washington. You watch what's going on in Israel. That's where the future of this world lies right now, what they do. America's future is going to depend on what she does with Israel. Amen. And my future doesn't have anything to do with either one. My hope is in Christ. But I'm going to tell you something today. You want a blessing? You want a blessing? Pray for Israel. You really want to be a blessing? Take on a missionary to Israel. I got a missionary. I don't know if you know Brother Sid White. Sid and Ida White, they're down in Pensacola for many years. I met him. He's a former Marine. Amen. So right away, me and him got along great because I was an Army paratrooper. But, you know, in Jesus Christ, anybody can get along, I guess. And some of you will get that later. Well, I was sitting in a restaurant down in Mount Airy, North Carolina with him. And he's telling me how he just found out, he's on deputation for Israel, and he just found out that his grandfather was executed in a prison camp in Germany, and that he was half Jewish, and they got him out of the country as a baby, and he never even knew he had Jewish blood in him. That's how serious it was. They didn't want to be tracked down and killed. His wife is from Lebanon. She is a full-blooded Shiite, Jew-hating Muslim. She said she knew that Sidney, she calls him Sidney, she knew Sidney was a Christian, a backslidden Christian. She said a backslidden Christian doesn't intimidate a Muslim one bit. I didn't bother me. I loved him. We loved each other. We got married. But she says, I told him, you ever tell me you got one drop of Jewish blood in you, I'll slit your throat, she told him. And I was at their house, and I watched her cooking dinner, and, buddy, she's good with a knife. I wouldn't take no chances with Elida. And I sat there, and Sidney's telling me how he's Jewish, and Ida's telling me how she's going to murder him, and all this, and they're on deputation for Israel, and I'm sitting there listening to this and going, this is the craziest thing I ever heard in my life. I pulled my wallet out. I says, I'm taking you guys on for support right now in a restaurant, and I'd give him cash. That was 11 years ago. I've been supporting him ever since. Why? Because I can't think of a better way to be a blessing to that Jew than to send them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Could I say also that it's more important than ever to pray for America? I'm so tired of hearing people say God cannot bless America. The way I look at it, God's blessing America right now. There's a sign out there on University Avenue that says Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We're sitting here in a building, and we don't have to disguise why we're here or what we're doing here. We don't have the windows blocked out. We're not sitting in here in low light conditions and hushed tones whispering about Jesus. There's countries in this world where they are. Try going to church in China right now. You'll find it's a little more complicated than it is here, isn't it, sister? Amen. Try going street preaching in the Sudan one time and see what happens. Amen. Try going door to door, passing out tracts. Try starting a little church in Darfur, wherever that is. Amen. Tell you what, you'd appreciate the blessings of God that we still have here. Amen. What have we got so far? Peculiar birth, peculiar book, peculiar behavior, Lord willing, peculiar blessing. We can't preach this without touching on this last one here, the peculiar benefits. Peculiar benefits of being a Christian? Well, this is a long list. So, you know, sit back, go to the bathroom, do what you got to do, get a drink. No, I'm just going to give you one. Just going to give you one because I made you nervous just by saying that. It says this in John 3 and verse 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. How's that for a benefit? You're saved here tonight. You're going to live forever. In heaven. In a mansion. I was out west one year, and somebody wanted to argue with me about who's in the bride and who's going to be at the marriage supper and who's a guest of the bridegroom and all that foolishness. And I'm thinking to myself, man, I'd be happy to sleep under a bridge. I'm just so glad I'm not going to hell. I ain't going to argue about that. I'm just glad I'm going. Amen. Safe at last from sin and sorrow and safe from Satan. Most of all, I'll be happy to be safe from myself. I've been saved 18 and a half years, and if you'd have told me the first year or two I was saved and called to preach that I wouldn't be any more spiritual in 2009 than I am, I probably would have fist fought. But I've learned this truth right here. My biggest enemy is me. And I let my guard down. I'm capable of saying the wrong thing, doing the wrong thing, treating somebody wrong. Yeah, I don't do drugs anymore. I don't kick the doors in at dope houses and steal their dope and their money. I don't do those things. I don't think I'm tempted to. But I'm going to tell you what. My biggest obstacle in living a life that's pleasing to God is me. And I'll be glad to be in that place where I won't have to deal with me. I'm serious about that. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but I'm glad it doesn't stop there. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Peculiar benefit. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, and I'm almost done. I mean it this time. Maybe. 1 Peter chapter 2. This is profound to me. I'm easily impressed, though. But ye are a chosen generation. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people. Semicolon. That ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. What's the point of all this peculiar people stuff? The real reason to embrace this concept is so that others who are still in darkness might see Jesus Christ in you. It says that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Boy, if you're saved here tonight, if you love the Lord enough, come to church on a Friday night. Man, you must have some concept of this, some idea. God has called you out of darkness, and not just out of darkness, but into his marvelous light. Boy, to say it's good to be saved is the understatement of the human language. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. There's people out there on University Avenue right now. There's people running all over the Twin Cities, and they're clueless, and they think they're having a good time, and they're living for today, and they're in darkness. And the Lord loves them, and the Lord went to the cross for them, and the Lord wants to use you to show them his marvelous light. That's the real purpose for us, for you and I, to be peculiar people, zealous of good works, that we could be vessels meet for the Master's use. Let me ask you, do they see his light in you? Amen. Are they getting a witness from your life? I mean, you know, like Monday through Friday. You know what I'm talking about. If not, it's time to do something about it. Peculiar people tonight. Simple message. Simple message. If you're in here tonight and you're not saved, you get in on this thing with a peculiar blood. Not AB. It's not O negative. There's no RH factor. The Bible says in Acts chapter 20. That it was the blood of God that was shed on Calvary that day. And it also says the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And one day, 18 and a half years ago, well, I got the blood of Jesus Christ on my sin. And I'm not going to get what I deserve. And if you're in here tonight and you're not saved, you don't have to get what you deserve. We sing that song. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow. And then take a breath. White as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Boy, if you don't know you're saved tonight, this is the right place, this is the right time. Let us take a Bible and show you how you can know according to the Bible, not according to me, according to God's book. And you Christians in here, you got the message. You got the message. Purifying himself a peculiar people. Are you? Let's pray. Father, I love you, and I pray you have your way in our midst tonight, in our hearts. Pray that you be pleased with our response to this message, and we'll thank you for that. If it could happen that way, in Jesus' name, amen.
Let's remain with our heads bowed and our eyes closed just a minute here. Jenny's going to start playing, and I know that we have some visitors here tonight, maybe even some young people or whatever. We give you an opportunity, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, it's exactly like Brother Spurgeon said. This is not a big displaced thing or anything. It's not to embarrass you. We would love to have an opportunity to show you out of the Bible how to be saved. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'm asking you to consider coming down here and letting me know that. And I promise within 30 seconds, we'll have you in a private room alone with one person to show you out of the Bible how to be saved. That's all we want. Anybody like that here? And you don't want to pass this deal up. You don't want to pass this up. First time you've ever heard anything like this, you don't want to pass it up. Stand in just a minute, and when we do, if there's anyone that needs to come tonight, either for what I just mentioned, you need to come and get some things straightened out in your Bible about whether you're saved or not. If the Lord spoke to you tonight about being a peculiar person, because Jesus Christ intended you to be peculiar, it's not that He just wants to make you different, it's that He wants to make you like Him. I guarantee you, He wouldn't fit in down here. If you're the type of Christian that thinks that Jesus Christ would meld in like a chameleon with this world, you're dreadfully wrong. He would not. He made you peculiar because His intention is to make you like Him. Let's stand with number 390 in hand. 390. Feel free to come tonight if you need to come have a word with the Lord. 390. Happened over the last couple of weeks. This is not a testament of how spiritual I am or anything, but once in a while, the Lord uses something you don't expect Him to. Now, everybody's been running around here with bumper stickers on their cars and all that for a long time. Folks, you forget sometimes how something simple like that counts. Twice in the last 2 weeks, and this sounds really strange, I've been sitting in a county market, one up in St. Francis and one in Riverdale. Each time I've been sitting there eating a piece of chicken for lunch. See, I sneak out of the house to go eat chicken for lunch. I I've been sitting there eating chicken for lunch, and one time, the first time at Riverdale, this lady gets out of the car next to me, and she looks back at me, and she says, "Are you a religious fanatic?" I bit my tongue because I wasn't sure whether I should be a smart aleck or not, and I said, "Yes, ma'am, I am." And she said, "Good, we need more like you." And we wound up talking for about 15 minutes about the Lord, and she's been to church twice. And then just the other day, at another county market, eating another piece of chicken, up in St. Francis, I was sitting there, and I noticed the lady get out of the car over there, and she stood kind of by her, driver door, I thought, glaring at my bumper stickers. In a minute, she came over and motioned to me, and I said, "Yeah, you can go ahead and open the passenger door." And she walked up and says, "Are you a born-again Christian?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am." And we stood and talked for about 10 minutes. Amen. Now, folks, everybody gives the, a one-finger salute and everything else with the bumper stickers. And, we get kind of, sometimes you're a little surprised when something bad happens with it. You could have knocked me over with a feather twice in the last 2 weeks. It's been forever since somebody said something nice about my bumper stickers. But you know what? It means something to some of God's people that you have those things. And you say, "Well, I just don't want to look weird." Sometimes, somebody needs you to look weird. Sometimes you're an encouragement to somebody when you look weird. Personally, I think you're an encouragement to Jesus Christ by looking weird. A little strange, a little peculiar. Because God's not out to make you look weird. He's out to make you look like His Son. And that's where you're going to wind up one day. When He redeems these mortal bodies, you're going to wind up looking just like Jesus Christ. And you're going to think like Him too. Let's sing the last couple stanzas here.